Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at something pretty major that happened back on October 20th, 2025.
Right, this was a really significant event.
A huge global outage at Amazon Web Services, AWS.
Yeah.
Lasted about 15 hours.
Yeah, a long time.
And happening almost exactly at the same time, the SEC's EDGR system, you know, where all the corporate filings go, just mysteriously failed.
Intermittent issues, I think they called it. Very vague.
Exactly. So our mission today, for you listening, is to use the skeptical researchers framework.
Yeah.
We want to figure out, was the SEC failure just bad luck, a coincidence?
Or was it a direct consequence of the AWS outage?
And what does that whole situation tell us about, well, the risks we face with our digital infrastructure being so concentrated?
And the starting point, the epicenter, was fascinating. It all stemmed from AWS's U.S. East 1 region.
In Virginia, right. The biggest data center hub on the planet.
That's the one. So when that specific region had problems for, like you said, 15 hours, it wasn't just a local issue. It went global fast.
Okay, so what caused the AWS failure? Our sources suggest it wasn't, you know, some dramatic cyber attack or system collapse.
No, nothing like that. It was, well, it's almost cliche in engineering circles.
Let me guess. It's always DNS.
You got it. Domain name system. Specifically, a DNS resolution problem hit the regional endpoint for DynamoDB.
DynamoDB. That's Amazon's big core database service.
The very one. Happened during a routine software update, apparently. So yeah, a fundamental directory lookup issue basically took down the world's biggest cloud provider.
That's kind of wild. But hang on, if the database issue was mainly in US East 1, why did it cause such a global problem? Didn't people have multi-region redundancy?
Ah, that's the key question. And it points to a hidden dependency. It turned out US East 1 isn't just any region.
It hosts the primary, what is it called? The control plane.
Exactly, the control plane. Think of it as the brain, handling essential stuff like logging in, authentication, deploying resources, managing accounts for many services globally.
So even if your application was technically running elsewhere,
if you couldn't authenticate or manage it because the US East 1 control plane was down, you were effectively locked out. It revealed this massive single point of failure most people weren't really aware of.
Okay, so that explains the AWS side. Now let's pivot to the SEC. ADGR goes down intermittently at the same time.
Yeah.
But the SEC gave almost no details, just intermittent issues.
Right, very tight-lipped.
Yeah.
But if we apply that skeptical researcher's framework, you look at the timing.
It calls a perfect match.
Near perfect temporal correlation. And you look at what failed at AWS core infrastructure and platform services. Things EDGR would absolutely rely on.
So using the framework, you'd say.
A high probability of a direct causal link, not just coincidence, consequence.
What specific evidence backs that up beyond the timing? Does the SEC's setup point that way?
Well, yeah. We know from public contracts, the SEC had significant blanket purchase agreements, BPAs, with AWS.
For what kinds of services?
Specifically for IaaS infrastructure as a service and PaaS platform as a service. So the foundational building blocks. They weren't just storing files. They were running core functions on AWS.
And didn't their own internal watchdog, the OIG, flag issues?
They did. Reports mention the SEC used an ad hoc approach to cloud migration. Basically, they hadn't systematically built in resilience against this kind of single region failure. It was kind of inevitable looking back.
Wow. Ad hoc.
Yeah.
Not what you want for critical financial infrastructure.
And there's another critical factor here we absolutely have to mention. A real threat multiplier.
Which was?
The U.S. government shutdown that was happening at the exact same time.
Ah, right. How did that impact things?
Well, the SEC had something like 90% of its staff furloughed. Think about that. Their ability to even diagnose the problem, let alone respond or fix it, was severely crippled. Institutional capacity just wasn't there.
So you have a technical failure cascading, an architectural vulnerability, and the agency responsible is barely staffed. A perfect storm.
Pretty much.
Stepping back then, what's the bigger picture here? What does this whole episode tell us about systemic risk?
It really highlights the danger of infrastructure concentration. You've got, what, three companies, AWS, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud, controlling around 63% of the global market.
So a single DNS glitch in one region of one provider
can suddenly pose a risk to global financial systems, government services, you name it. It's massive.
And this leads to what some sources call the democratic deficit. Can you explain that?
Sure. It means essential public services, things we all rely on, become dependent on the stability or instability of private commercial companies.
The government agency gets the benefit, maybe cost savings.
Right. The benefits are privatized. but the risk of failure, that gets socialized. We, the public, bear the consequences when it breaks.
So the big lesson here seems to be agencies need to ditch that ad hoc approach.
Absolutely. They need to really design for cloud failure, assume things will break. Resilience has to be the priority, maybe even over pure cost savings.
Are there concrete recommendations coming out of this?
Yeah, a couple of key ones. First, legislation to mandate comprehensive dependency mapping for federal agencies. We need to actually know where these single points of failure are hiding.
Makes sense. Know your dependencies.
And second, both government agencies and private companies need to develop and, crucially, test real exit strategies. How do you get off a platform if you need to? Reduce that vendor lock-in.
Okay, dependency mapping, exit strategies. Seems crucial.
Definitely.
All right, as we wrap up, let's leave our listeners with something to chew on. Considering this incredible reliance we've just discussed, what's the real long-term cost to, say, digital sovereignty when our core government functions live inside commercial private infrastructure?
That's the big question, isn't it? Something to think about.
Indeed. Think about that until our next deep dive.